Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here, as always, with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, who for some reason has a Calvin and Hobbes comic pulled up on his phone. It's Dr. Ronnie Kurtz.
Heyo, good to see you, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got to bring up a sensitive subject, if that's okay.
Oh, no.
I went to a friend's house last night. Okay. A couple of church guys invited me over and wanted to play a documentary.
Okay.
They want to watch a documentary. So I went over to watch this documentary with them. And it was really fascinating. I forget the name of it. I think it's called The Age of Disclosure. But it's all about the government's relationship with UFOs. And I thought of you and the episode that we did way back, probably 5 years ago.
Still to this day, episode I get the most questions about.
In your first jaunt as our co-host here, we have a now infamous UFOs episode where you just basically sat there and didn't do anything. And I was shocked. I came in thinking, we're going to have this great.
And I gave you a heads up. You just didn't think I was literal.
Yeah, no, I didn't think you were literal. Yeah. And I thought you would at least weigh in on things like the theological question of if there's life on it. You didn't want to touch any of it.
Yeah.
What? Have you had time to reflect on
you
that?
You know, a little bit.
Okay.
Because two things happened since then.
Okay.
This is like a retake of the other one. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I was, I lived in Dayton, Ohio for the last four-ish years.
A UFO hotspot?
Well, apparently. When, I don't know if you know, or I don't know if you remember when they... there was like some court cases about, releasing documents to the public whatnot. And there was a line that one of the defendants kept saying. He said, "The public needs to know what we have at Wright-Patt." And Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was 3 minutes from my house.
Whoa.
And I was like, what do we have at Wright-Patt?
Something radioactive.
I probably need to know. And it was in reference to UFOs and those kinds of things. So I was like, how ironic is it that it might just be in my backyard after all this time, So and then, rereading and loving, like falling in love even more with the space trilogy.
Okay.
Would have given me more to say, but still not much. See, I have this curse of like being an academic. Where we don't want to be on record on anything unless we're like relatively confident about it. And I'm not confident about much. So. Yeah.
But this is 2025. Everyone wants to be on record about everything.
No, no.
Every 7 minutes.
Yes, that is true of most people, but I am not them.
But not you. Well, I appreciate your restraint. I appreciate your candor. I don't appreciate you laying low on this subject because I need
just leaving
someone
you out to dry.
Well,
you
was really,
carried the team, man.
I mean, I was reminded in this documentary of a few things like, there's dudes who testified before Congress that the government has recovered not just crafts.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. Yeah,
but
body,
but what they call biologics.
I don't know what that is.
Non-human intelligent life that they have the bodies. There's the guy is before Congress.
Yeah.
Took an oath and everything. And I just thought, how did this not create shockwaves?
Yeah, it did kind of go quietly.
I mean, it's the nature of, I think, our current age and just the news cycle and the way that we're so distracted by screens that the government comes out and says we might have alien crafts and aliens,
and everyone's like
eh,
that's fine,
all right, that's cool. What's Sabrina Carpenter doing? I don't know. Something like
that's exactly right.
Well, I'm glad you've turned over new leaf as it relates to UFOs. You're open to a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And speaking of turning over new leaves,
man,
you see the transition.
It's
coming
just
now.
A work of art. I want eventually, I want just our amazing editorial team to just edit all of your transitions, just back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
It would just be like poetry in motion.
Some of them are a little better than others.
But, I love it.
We're talking about resolutions today, specifically Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah.
And his challenging resolutions. Are you a New Year's resolution guy? Do you make
I used to kind of like scoff at them.
Yeah.
And kind of tea. And I used to have like, ridiculous ones. And my wife and I would kind of make fun of them and whatnot. But over the last couple of years, I've tried to have like hey, it's okay for me to like set out to do something, you know. I don't have to like scoff at everything and be cynical. So the last couple of years I've tried it.
Okay.
And they're always, you know, like everyone else's, like hit a certain weight or read a certain amount of books, those kinds of things. But yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done it for a few years. But I'm not I try not to make fun of the idea and everything, you know. You know, people who want to improve their life develop better habits, and those are always good things.
That's right.
I don't know why I like to wait till January 1st kind of thing, but so Jonathan Edwards, very famously, famously now, I think he was a teenager.
Yeah.
I have, this was August of 1723, composed a list of 70 resolutions. Do you know how old he was?
I don't.
Okay, so generally teenager age. He wrote these 70 resolutions, and he reread them allegedly once a week to keep them on the forefront of his mind. And it's a stunning list of commitments, of challenging himself. August, these are not New Year's resolutions, I guess, right? Edwards was not like a my diet starts on Monday kind of guy. As soon as he had the idea, I'm guessing he sat down and wrote these down. General impressions. What's your history with this resolutions list? Or what do you make of this, of a young man writing 70 resolutions?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have both encouragements from it and critiques from it, I think, given, you know, our reading of the 70. But overall, I think one of my like intuitive takeaways from reading the 70 is if I'm going to have young men err on one side, I think I want them to err here.
Okay.
Of like taking stock of their life, trying to set a course that matters, trying to set a course towards meaningfulness and depth.
Yeah.
I do have a couple of warnings, you know, from some of them, but overall, I'm thankful that there was a model of a teenager trying to cultivate depth and meaning the way that he did.
Yeah, well, let's look at a few. Okay, so here's the very first resolution that Edwards wrote. Resolved, I will do whatever I think will be most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure for as long as I live. I will do all these things without any consideration of the time they take. Resolved to do whatever I understand to be my duty and will provide the most good and benefit to mankind in general. Resolved to do this, whatever difficulties I encounter, and no matter how many I experience or how severe they may be. Now, I want to resolve that whatever I do, whether I eat, drink, right?
That's right.
To give glory to God. Very biblical concept. This idea or this commitment seems to repeat.
Yes.
Multiple. There's a lot of redundancy.
There is redundancy. He could have had 50.
He could have had 50.
He needed to have a good editor.
In fact, the one about living such that at my last hour or my last day, I will not regret having lived that way or something like that. That shows up like five or six times.
Right. Yep.
I think he should resolve to have better memory retention, maybe, to remember that.
You see these once a week.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. How do you not? But that you can see actually what was really important to him.
Yeah.
You know, here's a concern that I have, and I've heard this in relation to Edwards a little bit from others, but to what extent do you think a list like this reflects almost like a scrupulosity on his part? A spiritual anxiety.
Yes.
I got to make sure everything that I'm doing is honorable to God, or it's, you know, that's a good passion to have. It's a better inclination than to not care at all about who you're bringing glory to. But it almost seems like this impossible burden.
Yeah.
That if you're having anxiety about every minute, that minute is you're doing something that's bringing glory to God explicitly, you know, that would worry me a little bit.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to balance it because there are some of these where I'm like, wow, this is quite heavy. And I don't want to use the word legalism necessarily because I think legalism has some contextual things that need to be taken into account. But there are some, like if you put this yoke around my neck, it would hurt my joy.
Yeah.
And I think I can just say that.
Same.
And yet, at the same time, I also want to be appreciative of a person where I don't want to say, while that's true for me, and I'm not being like a postmodernist here, but that might not have been true for him. He might have found joy in these resolutions. And I want to have a category for people who work well with something like this, you know. I know me, I know my wife. Kristen, my wife, is amazing, but she would hate this list in a lot of ways, you know.
Yeah.
It would feel really law oriented for her. And so it's not going to be the kind of thing where the Kurtz household's resolution is going to sound like these 70. And yet, I can still appreciate them because I do think we don't drift towards holiness, you know, and taking stock of your life. If we have an abundance of something in the evangelical church today, it's not taking stock of our life. So I want to say, in terms of like holiness, I think there's something to be learned here. Now, you might not word it the same way that Edwards did. I might not word it the same way Edwards did. But I do think there could be something for like rules of life that tend towards a development of righteousness, a cultivation of depth, and a development of holiness.
Yeah. there's a few that the aim to me is on the right trajectory, but I have like a little kind of arched eyebrow about the reason for it or the product. So for instance, I think this is 28, resolution 28. He says, resolve to study the scriptures so steadily and so constantly and so frequently that it becomes evident, even obvious to myself, that my knowledge of them has grown. That's a, you know, studying the scriptures more and more and more, that's a good thing. But what about the scriptures as, and to have more knowledge of the scriptures is a good thing, of course. Was it Spurgeon who said, you know, if they cut you, you should bleed bibline or something like that?
I think you should bleed Bible. Yeah.
So I like that. But the idea of affections, which is not, you know, foreign to Edwards' thinking. What about, you know, to be so immersed in God's word that my affections for Christ are stirred or something like that? It just, some of it, I mean, he's a young man when he's writing
this. That's exactly right. That's all I'm about to say.
And so I wonder if that's a piece of where he's still kind of thinking.
That's right. Yeah, I would love 70 resolutions from the old Edwards. Once, after he's written Religious Affections and Freedom of the Will and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I wonder how different they would sound, or maybe they wouldn't, you know. But I do think affections would have a larger place in them. Now, I will say, I forgot about this when I was rereading the resolutions for this episode. And I forgot that he did start it with like, I'm going to try these things by God's grace.
Yeah.
And that was helpful to alleviate some of the, you know, he has that like almost preamble of like, I can only do these things if God assists me. And I was like, okay, that's helpful to like keep that in mind when he's like resolving to spend every minute perfectly for the glory of God, you know.
Right.
It helps abate some of those like legalistic readings that I have of it. But there were some that weren't, you know, completely legalistic. And I was like, you know what, I probably should take on those resolutions.
Right, right.
There were some that hit home where I was like, oh, man, that's convicting.
Well, I mean, some resemble the typical Christian's New Year's resolutions. I want to read my Bible more.
Yes.
You know, I want to, you know, make, I want to improve in my Bible knowledge.
Yes.
Resolution 20 is to maintain the wisest and healthiest practices in my eating and drinking.
That's right.
So, I he's probably not thinking about his waistline, but he's thinking just in terms of not being a glutton and being a drunkard and all those sorts of things. So, you know, those aren't far afield from the things we resolve to do today.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 40 is similar to the eating and drinking one where, there is like, I probably should take that into account as well. You know,
what do you do? Say on 40? I don't have that one.
The, he says, have the strictest temperance with eating and drinking, you know, so.
There again, Edwards, why would you repeat?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
He probably could have been 35 resolutions.
Now, the one that I found myself like feeling like struggling with is the repetition of the end of life one. You've brought this up.
Yes.
But I mean, I listed out some of them. 52, 19, 17, 7, and 9.
All of those
are basically like,
I don't want to have any regrets the last minute
my
life or whatever.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I wrote down one of them to read it here. This is resolution 52. He says, I frequently hear persons in old age say how they wish they would have lived if they were to live their lives over again. Resolved that I will live just so as I can think I shall wish I had done.
Yeah.
And that kind of sentiment is repeated again, 19, 17, 7, 9. And there is this repetition that is like, okay, you probably could have done this in one, maybe two, if you really want to repeat. However, what I appreciate about those is I do think Christians need to, maybe we could do an episode on this, Jared, one day, but I do think Christians need to recapture the vision of that old Christian saying of memento mori, mm-hmm. remember death.
Remember death.
Living in light of our death is a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
Right? Teach me to number my days. That is a wise thing to do. Now, if we need to repeat it that many times, I don't know. But this idea of like resolve that I will live in such a way that if the Lord returned right now, I won't regret the actions that I was doing yeah. is a way to remember death. He has one where he says something like, resolve that I will live in a way where I will obtain as much happiness as I can in the life hereafter. That's living in light of eternity, which I think is a wise practice, that yeah. memento mori of I will die and my days are numbered, and that should impact what I think about productivity and these kinds of things even right now. I think that is wise, even if it's a little repetitive.
Yeah. I'm working on a new book right now for to help men navigate midlife.
Yes.
So kind of the middle age period. And this is a, you know, I have a whole chapter on this, like finishing well, yeah. the whole section on finishing well, actually, and three chapters in that section. And part of it is, of course, remembering that end, how you want to be remembered, a sense of legacy, et cetera. You know, there's all kinds of cliches out there, right? Nobody remembers how many extra hours you worked,
yeah.
right? You know, but they remember if you were home, those mm-hmm. sorts of things. But there's also, I think, and when you're a young man, you can make these resolutions, but I think especially in the midlife period, but for really anybody who's maturing, we have regrets.
Yes.
We realize I've not lived up to this resolution.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't sense in the resolutions is a return to grace when mm-hmm. I fail.
Yes.
If I somehow fail this, and maybe I missed one where he said something like this, but it's all what he's going to do to maximize, right?
Yeah.
You know, resolution number, whatever is, I'm going to maximize my time
yeah.
and live every minute
yeah.
to the utmost. The next resolution is, I'm going to give it 100%.
Yeah,
the next
yeah,
resolution
yeah.
is, everything I've got is going to be,
yeah.
it's like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
But what happens when you inevitably realize,
I didn't.
I cannot do that.
Yeah.
That is an impossible burden mm-hmm. that every, you know, even to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yeah.
Right. That's the command.
Yes.
To strive towards. But inevitably, you also see in the law your failure to live up to
yes.
it. And I want to see a bit more. And maybe he had a little more, you know, reflex toward grace as he got older.
That's right.
As some of us do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so in this book I'm writing, I have a whole chapter on lament as well. Because from my vantage point, I'm thinking, yes, how do I make the most of the rest of my life? If I'm on the final couple laps or whatever it is, I want to make sure I run well, that at the end somebody could say, oh, he lived for the right things. He didn't waste that time. I don't want to waste this time. You know, even if I get to a retirement, I don't want to retire from the Christian life. I don't mm-hmm. want to retire from the things that matter the most. At the same time, I'm looking back going, man, I wanted to do those things when I was 20 too.
Yeah,
and
I
certainly messed all that up.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you go? What do
yes.
you do?
Yeah, you almost need like the final resolution to be something like, and every minute I spent wayward, I will be resolved that it was consumed in the furnace of God's grace.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, like that would be like a good final
resolution.
71. That's right. Yes.
from yeah. Ronnie Kurtz. Any others that stood out to you? That
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I did one of my, and we've talked about this before, even on the podcast. I think we might even relate in this, but I can sometimes have a crippling inward voice, and my inward voice sounds nearly antithetical to my outward voice towards other people.
Mm.
So I have no problem believing the gospel on behalf of other people.
Yeah.
I nearly every person I'm around, I think they're like the coolest person ever and they're doing like the coolest work for the kingdom. But when I do self-evaluation, it's like that your work is meaningless, and you know, my inward voice is just, it can be brutal. And so there are some of Edward's resolutions that can feed that crippling inward voice, but I am thankful for resolution 25. Which he says, to examine carefully what that one thing is which causes me in the least to doubt the love of God, which I do that all the time, to think about, to have my mind go to, why might God not love me? But he doesn't end the resolution there. He says, and resolved to direct all of my forces against it.
Wow.
That's what I don't do well enough, of like, okay, what is causing me to have spiritual scrupulosity, or, you know, what is causing me to doubt my assurance or the love of the Lord? And I often will arrive at a shore of like, okay, I've landed on the shore of what causes me doubt. And I could start to listen to that, you know, the voice of the accuser. But I don't think I do a good enough job of waging war against those things, direct all my forces against them. So I was thankful that he included that last part of, because I was like, ooh, I resonate with this one. But I don't think I do that part well.
Yeah, interesting. Resolution 34, he says, resolved when telling stories, never to speak anything but the pure and simple truth.
Come on. That's convicting.
What do you think he's aiming at there? What is that about? To tell, when I'm telling stories,
yeah,
is it like the impulse to exaggerate for the sake of entertainment, or yeah, to make himself look good? Or is that, I mean,
I think, yeah, all of the above. I think, okay, I think that's exactly right. I think he just, throughout all of the resolutions, you can feel he's sensitive to the wickedness of the tongue.
Yeah.
And maybe even too much so, you know, there's one, yeah, that's like, where I would probably, you know, diverge from him, as he has had that one on the Sabbath, like on the Lord's Day, resolved to not speak anything of sports or laughter.
I mean,
and I'm like, oh, come on.
My NFL tweets would violate that. Yeah, I would, right, be,
yeah, and especially if you write one that's funny.
Wait, was that a joke? Are you saying mine aren't funny? Or what? That's all I'm trying to do.
That's right.
Funny, yeah, NFL tweets. Yeah, Edwards would look at, he would shake his head.
Oh, yeah. He would hate that.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's some that are like, okay, that's fine. It's just, I'm not going to go there with you. But he does feel the wickedness of the tongue and wants to work, yeah, against that. And I think, yeah, that's what you see in that resolution.
Resolution 56, resolve never to give up nor even slacken up, gosh, in my fight with my own corruptions, no matter how successful, and I love this, or unsuccessful I may be.
Hmm.
So even if I fail in this fight, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep,
yeah,
keep fighting my sin. I'm,
yes,
going to wage war on this, on my flesh. Man, Edward's just built differently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could sense that. Just, I mean, even as a teenager.
Guy. Yeah.
I didn't write it down. I have it here pulled up, though.
Probably not a fun hang.
I don't. Yeah, my guess is he's not the life of any party.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Resolved to ruin this party.
Resolution 72.
That's right.
Never, yeah, to let any party continueth without injecting some sobriety.
I do. I think maybe, you know, happy to talk about any others that you want to, but I think a good one to possibly even end on is his Resolution 53. It says,
to, yeah,
resolved to improve every opportunity when I am in the best and happiest frame of mind, to cast and venture my soul on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust and confide in him, and to consecrate myself wholly to him, that from this I may have assurance of my eternal safety, knowing that my confidence is in my Redeemer.
My confidence is in my Redeemer. That's a good word. That's a good resolution to have, actually, going forth. I always like to say my number one resolution throughout the year is 1 Corinthians 2:2, that I have resolved to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
That would be a good background verse for, yes, that resolution. Listener, if you are putting together your own ambitions and aspirations, take a look at Edward's 70 resolutions. Maybe you can find some inspiration there. And if they bum you out, you know, don't blame us. We're just delivering the news, you know. Your mileage may vary, but if you enjoy the podcast, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to or watch your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.